This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Tetzaveh. And of course, the things that we will not read this Shabbos is the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, whose name does not appear in the entire Parsha. In fact, the Baal HaTurim points out that the name of Moshe doesn't appear in the Parsha in partial fulfillment of his statement, V'mayim mecheni nami sifrecha asher kasafta, that next week when we read about Cheda Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you don't forgive B'nai Yisrael, wipe my name out of the Torah. So why Parshas Tetzaveh? So Rabbi Menachem Ginnak explained to us that the Parsha Tetzaveh was selected because the Parsha deals with the Big Day Kahuna, and Moshe, as a leader, didn't need Big Day Kahuna or Big Day Malchus or any royal vestments for his ability to rule. His being was more important than the clothing that he wore, and so therefore he was above it. And so therefore, the Parsha to highlight that is Parsha Tetzaveh, and so therefore Moshe's name doesn't appear here. It wasn't necessary. We're also told the halos near Tamid. He's told to tell Bnei Yisrael and take oil to light a permanent light. Now, what's the purpose of the menorah lighting an eternal light, given with a separate command and a separate parsha, when the placing of the lechem upon him seems like a byproduct of the command to build it? In other words, why is lighting the menorah and taking the oil considered a separate mitzvah, and it's parallel, baking lechem upon him and putting it on the table seems like a byproduct? So the Rashiva of Har Etzion Rebaruch Gigi explains that the Shulchan represents Parnasa and a man's pursuit of it. The menorah represents the spiritual pursuit. And while man has times in his life that are devoted to things that appear to be different from his pursuit of Torah, the ultimate goal of everything we do is to light the eternal light, to lahalos ner tamid. And so even when we're taking time to focus on Parnasa or health or raising our families, our focus needs to be that these activities are indeed just sub-goals of our main goal, namely, lahalos ner tamid. And by the way, that's why Birchas HaTorah are not re-recited, because our day is filled with Torah focus, filled with Torah study. We have certain things that appear to be slight deviations. They're not alternative goals. In other words, our whole life, we're always involved in the study of Torah. The bulk of the parsha, though, does spend the time on the Big Day Kahuna, which we're told are supposed to be prepared lechavod ulesefaris, for honor and glory. And the Klei Yakar notes that Achashverosh also wore the Big Day Kahuna as well. And Klei Yakar explains that Achashverosh's intent was to atone for all of his sins that the clothes are supposed to atone for. But it's not the wearing of the clothes that makes the difference, and that's where he was wrong. The late great Philadelphia Rashiva Revel Yisvei suggested otherwise. He suggests that the basis of the kapara of the Big Day Kahuna are in fact that they inspire the nation to have positive midos and change those that are not positive. And Achashverosh thought that he too had midos and shitos, and he wanted to inspire. That's why he wore the Big Day Kahuna. By wearing it out in public, he was going to show the people, but that's where he erred. You can't have personal shitos and midos and expect Hashem to amplify and meet them. Proper midos and the way to express them are a function of Hashem. And that's why Achashverosh and the Big Day Kahuna are on different wavelengths. It's not, I'm a tzaddik, and so therefore Hashem should show my tzidkus. I'm doing the will of Hashem, and therefore I'm amplifying that. That's the mindset that a Kohen Gadol, as opposed to an Achashverosh, has. We're told that you have to make a tzitz. And when one of the Big Day Kahuna, Gedola, was the tzitz, the head plate, which was written with, which was made out of pure gold, and upitachta la pituchei chosam kodesh la Hashem, you write, kodesh to Hashem, holy to Hashem. The Medrash notes that the Big Day Kahuna were used to atone. What is it supposed to atone for? It's supposed to atone for azus, for brazenness. Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky noted that there's a genius in that idea. He noted, quoting the Baal Shem Tov, that when one has a trait that could be interpreted as negative, it's best to sublimate it towards the positive. Azus can be a very negative trait, Rabbi Twersky said. However, when it's brazenly dedicated, kodesh Hashem, once you see it and you twist it into the direction that it's supposed to be used for Hashem, then it can be positive. And we're told that tzitz should be al mitzchot tamid. It should be on his head all the time. And the Gemara in Yuma notes that one needs to check his tefillin all the time. And the source is from the fact that the Kohen Gadol had to wear the tzitz on his head all the time. Now, the tzitz had only one name of Hashem. Tefillin had many names on Hashem. And so therefore we see that for tefillin, that's the way it's supposed to work. Tosis in Sukkah then asks where one learns that he's supposed to touch the tefillin from. And Tosfos answers, if you need to keep something on your mind, as long as you're wearing it, you need to be active with it. And so regular touching of the tefillin will keep him active with the touching. The problem with his suggestion is that we don't have an obligation to touch the tzitz, right? And Kohen Gadol didn't have to keep touching it. So why were we not concerned with his Hesach Hadas? Well, if we're supposed to learn from the tzitz to the tefillin, and the tefillin, we have to keep being memashmesh, we have to touch with it all the time, why aren't we concerned with the Hesach Hadas, with the fact that the Kohen Gadol was going to forget? By the way, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to raise his hand over the tzitz either. And so how is he supposed to touch it? So what are we learning from the tzitz to the tefillin? Doesn't make sense. So the Stipler answered that perhaps in this case, the very fact that he can't raise his head above the tzitz is the reminder that's necessary. Sometimes the fact that there are things you can't do stays on your mind more than the things that you may. Alternatively, the Stipler says, the fact that there's a mitzvah, Mora Mikdash, keeps the Kohen Gadol's focus. He wore the tzitz only in the Beis HaMikdash, and this will keep his mindset focused and told where he's supposed to go. We're also told, Ani Hashem, Asher Otsesi Osam Eretz Mitzrayim L'Shachni B'Socham, I took you out of Egypt to live among them. Rashi says Hashem took us out to dwell among us. And the Ramban adds that the idea of Hashras Hashchina is a desire of Hashem. Hashem wants Hashchina to get out, and he wants to dwell among Bnei Yisrael. It's a very important idea. So Rav Shaul Yisraeli explained that what people in the Gola, the diaspora Jews, lose when they consider their spiritual lives is that Hashem sees the ideal place for spiritual dwelling to be Eretz Yisrael. And he added that living in Israel is not for the financial or economic or social advantages. And he was talking in the olden days, life in Israel and true religious Zionism is built on the idea that we see a purpose of life, and that purpose of life is to live with Hashem's Shechina about us. And so no matter what we go through in Eretz Yisrael, we always feel that Shechina, and we have the opportunity to reach out and do so. We have a responsibility to do so. One of those things that we lose out sometimes by living here in the Gola. We're told that Aaron is supposed to bring the Ketoros. Viktir alav Aaron, Ketoros samim baboker baboker. Why does Aaron have to be the one to bring the Ketoros each day? I thought Ketoros could be brought by any of the Kohanim each day that was not on Yom Kippur. So Marv Rabbi Roshefta quoted this foreigner who suggested that in the Midbar, the Anan was so strong that it created an environment where each day of the entire 40 years was like a day of Yom Kippur. And so just as the Kohen Gadol does the entire Avoda then, he does the entire Avoda in the Midbar as well, and that's what Aaron did. So he was told to do the Maisa Ketoros. That was the suggestion that Roshefta told us in the name of the Sforno. Finally, in the Haftorah, which is the regular Haftorah this week, we're told that also in the time of Yechezkel, as Kolchu Kosav v'chol Tzurosav, Tzurosavayis Tchunaso Motzav v'mobav v'chol Tzurosav, that all the decrees, forms, and all the regulations of the Mikdash were also going to be set up in the third Beis HaMikdash. The Navi describes the third Beis HaMikdash with all of its details. Shachta told us in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that Rav Soloveitchik explained that in the future, as in the past, the Beis HaMikdash will need both structure and form. Because on the one hand, the house of Hashem needs a precise measure, but on the other hand, it'll need a form. It has to make an impression. And perhaps that's what troubled Moshe Rabbeinu about the menorah, not how to make it, but rather how to transfer the idea of the spirit of the Ner Tamid. It can be done. It has the ability to happen. The only question is how. How to go ahead and transfer it. And that's perhaps one of the great ideas in life that we have to think about. We have to have a structure in life. We can't just go ahead willy-nilly as a ghost and call everything spirituality. We have a responsibility to do that. On the other hand, we need the form to be able to get to the structure. I'm wishing everyone a Shabbat Shalom and a Shabbat Shalom to all.